My soul says yes. What has your soul told the Lord today? You may have said yes yesterday, but are you saying yes today? In fact, are you saying yes to God right now? My soul, Lord, says yes. Yes to your way. Yes to your will. Yes to trusting you. Yes to obeying you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Well, good evening, everyone, everywhere. Thank you for tuning in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. God bless you on today. Amen. It is a pleasure to be with you once again. I consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to come and inspire and encourage the Word of God, the living life, to work in your life and mine. Oh, yeah, I said in yours and mine, because as I am encouraging you, I am also encouraging myself. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and that's hearing the Word of God. That's right. If you want to build up your faith, one of the ways to build your faith is to constantly listen to what God is saying. Because the more you listen to what God is saying, the more encouraged you are concerning the things of God. Well, once again, thank you for tuning in. God bless you. This is a true word of faith time. The true word of faith is the ministry that I have because I believe in the true word. And I have faith in God's true word. Once again, it is a privilege and an honor to be in your presence on today. I am a ordained elder in the Church of God in Christ. And we have an affirmation of faith that often I like to quote to you or recite to you so that you may know on what the preacher is standing for. As a church, a body of believers, we affirm these things concerning our faith. And allow me to share them with you. We believe the Bible to be the inspired, and infallible written word of God. We believe that. Amen. And we're talking about the original sacred scriptures themselves. We do understand that some translations are flawed. And there are some groups out there that have made their own personal translation to either downgrade or to diminish some of the commands of God and the ordinance that God has set for his people. And allow me to take this moment to pause concerning the word of God. Many of us, when we hear the term Bible or Holy Bible, we associate that with our culture, wherever we may be. In America, we are a democracy. And a lot of times we try to associate the Bible based on a democracy standing. We could do no greater harm to the word than to try to do that. A democracy is a statement that is a system that is set up by the people, that is for the people. But the laws and rules, they come together and reason within one another what's right and what's wrong. And that can have its benefits, but it also can have its drawbacks. But from a kingdom standpoint, when you consider that in a kingdom, the king himself has final authority. He may have counselors, but he need not counsel of others. What he speaks is law concerning his people and his kingdom. Well, the Bible tells us of our heavenly king. He speaks of his kingdom. So when we read the Bible, we have to understand that we can't take it from a Western civilization. We have to understand it from a Eastern standpoint in which it was written concerning a kingdom and its king. And so when God speaks, that says it. That's it. We have no right or authority to rebuttal what God has said. So many people are in error simply because they try to justify God or change God or adjust something that God has said to what they have said as they. So those are the dangers. So again, let me go back to our affirmation of faith. We believe that the Bible is the infallible, the inspired and infallible written word of God. We believe there's only one God eternally existing in three persons. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope of the rapture of the church of God, which is in Christ at his return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance and faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We believe that the regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemption work of Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body and an answer to the believer prayer. We believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2 and 4, is given to believers who ask for him or ask for it. We believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separate life in this present world. Amen. And that's what we stand for. And as a minister of the Word of Faith, my opinion is whatever God says concerning God's Word. And so when I speak to you based on my understanding of what he has said. I pray at all times when you are listening to me, that number one, that you have your Bible before you and you open it up as we journey together, sacred scriptures, reading God's Word, so that we may have a collective understanding of what God is saying. I'm a human being, and what that simply means is I am capable of mistakes and errors. And we have to understand that because we are capable of mistakes and errors, that well intentions are just that. They meant well, but sometimes we do error. Thank God for grace. Because grace covers the multitudes of faults. And we thank God for help. For when we are in error, that's when we as fellow believers try to encourage one another so that we don't stay in error. Now, I do know that different affirmations stand on certain principles more than others, and that is a matter of preference. And so times there are certain preferences that one affirmation may stand on that others may not stand on as much. And so we have certain differences, but what unites us all, or what should unite us all, is in the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. It was prophesied from Genesis to Eve that God was going to send through her a seed. And if you know anything about human biology, we understand fully that the woman provides the egg, the man provides the seed. But God spoke to Eve and said, her seed, and speaking about something being birthed out of her that was not going to come from a man, but was going to come from God. And we have so many prophecies concerning the Messiah, the Redeemer, the precious Lamb of God. And it is our firm belief that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, name in that day and time, was pronounced something similar to Yahshua. And he came and he fulfilled all written prophecies of his coming in the matter of which he was born, in the matter of the things that he had to endure, in the matter of the things that he was going to suffer, how he was going to die, and his resurrection. And Christ is the first to be resurrected from the dead that did not go back to the grave. We know that Christ rose Lazarus from the grave, but Lazarus died again. Christ himself rose from the grave, but he did not die again. He died once for our sins, and he need not to die again. We believe these things. We believe that the atonement for man's sin, Christ took it and bore it on the cross. So the penalty for sin, which was death, and because he knew no sin, we saw last week as I taught about him overcoming the three trials of temptation in life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We saw that he knew no sin. In other words, he did not engage in sin. He did not participate as a sinner, as we are or we have. So his blood, because he was not born of Joseph or any other natural man, he was born of the Holy Spirit, his blood was not tainted. As I have the blood of my father and he has the blood of his father, Christ has the blood of the Holy Spirit, and whose father is the Heavenly Father. So his blood was pure, and it was the only thing worthy to redeem and to satisfy what God the Father wanted, and to redeem us back to God the Father. And so we believe that the work of the cross is a finished work. That means I don't have to add nothing else to it for salvation or for that redemption. It is done because he said on the cross, it is finished. Stand on that solid truth that it's finished. And so we gravitate to Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart, that's faith. Because it's something that we are hoping for, but we have not seen. None of us in this day and time have seen Christ in the flesh. None of us was there to bear witness of his crucifixion. But when we accept that truth, the Holy Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that these things are true. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to encourage us and to share with us truth concerning God the Father and his will for our lives. So with all that being said, because that conversation can go on and on and on, I hope today that you have put all, A-L-L, not some, not part, but all of your faith concerning your eternal destiny. That means in this life you're going to die. God delay his coming to itself being delayed, the rapture of the church. We all are going to face death one day. It is after death that this body is separated from the soul within us, which do not and cannot die. Your soul is eternal. How do I know? Well, I know that God is eternal. And because God himself is eternal, the sacred text tells me he formed us from dust. And he spoke our existence. But he did one more thing. He breathed his breath into our nostrils, into our being. And man became a living soul, not a dying soul, but a living soul. So as the body goes back to the ashes from which it came. You've heard us say it in funeral. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, earth to earth. So does the body go back to which it has come from. Our soul, remember, it came from the breath of Almighty God. That's powerful right there. That lets you know, that should encourage you, that you, irregardless to how your parents got together, accident, incident, good, bad, right or wrong, your existence was allowed by God. And his breath is in your being. What that make you is a part of him. Even the most hatred and evil person on the planet, he has a part of God within his being. Because the breath of God is in him or her. Therefore, God don't hate himself. So there's a part of us, and regardless to how bad it is, God overlooks that. And he sees the need for his breath to be reunited back to him. He gave us a way to accomplish that, and that is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. He himself made the way. And I know there may be many ways to get to your home. But at the final destination, there's only your home. So if I was sending you a letter and your address started with 2535 Main Street, and if I put 2534 Main Street, I just missed you. Even if it's just barely a little. Whatever I was sending your way won't get your way because 535. So irregardless to how morally good a person may seem, if they miss the one element, Jesus Christ, they miss God the Father. You cannot get to God the Father by any other means than through his Son. Because he said so. Not a matter what I think, what I believe, well, God should not. I's not the king. I know that sounds like broken English, so I am not the king and neither are you. Therefore, he has final say. We as preachers, ministers of the gospel of truth, we should not be preaching exceptions to a rule. Because what God makes excuse for, what God allows, is what he allows. What he has mercy on is what he has mercy on. The scripture says so. He will have mercy on whom he may have mercy. That's not up for you and I to debate. It's up to him because he knows the mind of the individual. And because God knows the mind of the individual, he knows the development and thought process of whom standing before him. And so God doesn't judge like you and I. He judges the content of the heart, the intent, the purpose, the understanding. It is my job as a minister of truth to tell you what he said. And it is your job, just like it was my job. The Bible said, let every man seek out his own soul salvation. It's in there. I know it's in there because I read it for my one self. When you read it for yourself, the understanding comes to you. We read yesterday, as the scripture tells us, in all our getting, get understanding. So I pray today that you have an understanding that God's word is final. And because his word is final, there may be some things you don't understand. But I believe we serve a just God, a loving God. You, according to James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. Notice he didn't say all believers. He didn't say to all his children, those that have accepted him. He didn't go into no theology of those that are of Israelite descent. But he said, give to all men. That's everybody. That verse there speaks of mankind. Give to all liberally. And so there's some things that God wants to give us. We may be broken. But the blessing about going to church and coming to fellowship with others of the same belief is that you are able to encourage one another until that day come. What day? That day when either we are called home through death to be with the Father, or that day when we are called to meet him in the air. That day is called the rapture. No, the Bible does not use the word rapture, but it does speak of being caught up to meet him in the air. And we translate that word into rapture, to be called up. And so there's a day that God is calling us to be with him. I'm going to pray this song by Brother Brian Cage, Broken, But I'm Healed. I want to dedicate this to those that may be still grieving from the loss of your loved ones. I want to dedicate this to those that may have broken relationships, broken fellowship. Maybe you've been to a church and you was wounded by that particular organization or the people there. I want to let you know that just because you was broken don't mean you have to stay broke. God is a healer. The Bible tells us that concerning Christ, that he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. There's healing for your emotional stress. your emotional brokenness. There's healing for your soul that's been disconnected from God. There's healing even in your natural physical body. Sometimes we're looking for healing in a particular area when in fact what's truly broken is our mindset concerning that brokenness or that illness. I want you to know today, beloved, that God desires to heal you. After we have heard this song, I will be back with a word of prayer.
Your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today, that when you leave here, won't be the into your position. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind. Oh, your body and hallelujah. God can heal.
God can heal.
Oh, yeah.
He can heal.
And he can mend a broken.
He can mend your broken head.
He has
the miracle
to
fix
your
need. About the situation, but with every test, it's every trial, there is revelation that God is able to supply every one of your needs. He's here to touch and heal you. I can heal.
Yes, he can.
is that you'll have your healing. Once God works a miracle to feed your mended my
Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I would like for you to get your prayer requests in your mind and heart. Some prayer requests I need to be vocalized. But for the saving of some time tonight, what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm not going to open up the mics at this moment. I'm going to ask that you will put that prayer request and speak it where you are. As you speak those things that you are asking God to reveal, to give you understanding, to give you clarity, to give you peace, to heal, to deliver, to set free. Those things I'm asking that you will just get those in your heart and mind. And I will ask that you would just take this time to pray along with me. I'm going to pray as the Holy Spirit gives me and leads me to pray. But I would love for you to pray along with me. Well, how do you do that? As you hear what I'm saying, allow your spirit to echo the things that I'm saying and to agree in spirit concerning the request that we are making known unto the Lord. And whatever that problem or circumstance is in your life, as I begin to name certain issues, you call out yours as well as we are praying for other issues. And we're going to do this corporately. We're going to take the next 5 minutes or so and go into prayer. Now, many people stray away from prayer, but as believers, prayer is one of the most powerful weapons we have. It changes things. It lines things up. It lines us up. So we're not trying to pray. We're not praying to change God's mind. we're praying that he would change ours, that he would intervene on our behalf in us. God is not changing. What he said is what he said. What he's done is what he's done. What we see tomorrow, he done yesterday. He's already finished. We're waiting on time to reveal what he has already allowed to take place. So even our prayer, he already heard it. But we must go through the process of knowing this together and doing this together in accordance to his will for us. I will be praying for our world today. We may be in different countries right now, so as I pray for my country, you pray for your country. As I pray for those on the sick and shed in list that I know of, you pray for those on the sick and shed in list that you know of. As I pray for my community, you pray for your community. As I pray for my family, you pray for your family. And when I pray for your family, you pray for my family. We got it? Here's the spirit of unity working in us if we do this together. Jesus told us, his disciples, when you pray, pray our Father. So we're going together collectively to God. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. And we come before your presence now with first thanksgiving of your tender mercy and grace towards us individually. We ask, Father, that you will forgive us of any wrongdoing that we may have done knowingly and unknowingly unto you. Help us to realize any offenses that we may have done to our brethren. Our hearts to forgive our brethren that may have offended us and done us wrong. We lay on the altar now all of the transgressions that we have held against others who have offended us in deed, in word, in spirit, or physical actions. And we're asking you, Father, to condition our heart and to remind our spirit that it is covered by your blood, that it's something that has already been separated from us. And we thank you now for that, because we do not need anything to hinder our heart's prayer to you this evening. We come before you, Father God, as a collective people. We come before you, Father God, asking that you, Father God, will intervene on man's behalf, on man's behalf, to assist him with what he must do and accomplish. There are some things, Lord, that we can do, but are there things, Father God, that we are unable to do? God, we ask for your wisdom in knowing the difference. We bind the spirit of laziness that's hindering us from doing the things that you will have us to do. We ask, Father God, that you, Father, will give us how to walk right, talk right. Because before we can pray for others, Lord God, we ourselves must be lined up with your will. We ourselves, Father God, must first be partakers of your word. So as we share healing with others, they will first see it in us. As we share deliverance with others, they will first see it in us. As we share your joy and your peace with others, they will first see it in us. And Lord, we thank you now. Because sometimes, Lord God, we don't know how to pray for others. Father God, sometimes we don't know how to help others. But Holy Spirit, we're asking that you would come into our minds and our heart and give us proper direction and instructions. So we pray for our nation today. We are encouraged to pray for our civical and natural leaders of our country. So we lift up our president and vice president to you here in America. We lift them up before you, Lord God, that you order their steps. We know throughout the world today, there are wars and even rumors of wars. We know, Lord God, that today there is trouble on every side. And Lord God, they are responsible for making decisions for the lives of millions. And so, God, they are just people, flesh and blood. And they themselves are capable of error. And so we ask, Father God, that you give them the counsel that they need to make solid and sound decisions for our nation. We ask, Father God, that they will adhere to the solid and sound advice and make the decisions needful for peace, for prosperity. Father, we pray for our local states, our governor, our local cities, our mayors, our councilmen and women that are responsible for making decisions concerning our communities. There are violence in many of our communities, some more than others, some because of the poverty level, some because of greed. So we pray for law and order. We pray for our men and women that are in law enforcement, that they first will be partakers of righteousness and that they be vigilant on their jobs. We pray for their safety, Lord God, because they have families that they desire to go back home to. And so, God, we pray, Lord God, as they go to work, that they are able to do their job in keeping the peace and are able to go back home in peace to their families. We pray for our men and women on our military forces, that they are able to guard our communities, our cities, our states, our country. We pray for their alertness, even in cyber affairs. We pray for those that are watching for those that will allow greed to rule their lives. We pray for their exposure to be exposed so that the common man and woman are not victimized by their actions. God, we pray, Father, for those that are sick today. COVID-19 has took center stage, but God, there's other illnesses that are still plaguing people today that are far worse. People are still dying from cancer. People are still dying from the flu. People are still getting diseases because immunizations are not there provided for them. People are dealing with deformities in their bodies because of diseases in their land. We pray for the men and women that are there to administer medical assistance for them. We pray for their safety, their safe travel. Many have to work in condition that is not as sanitary as they learn, but yet they still must do the job. And many times they have to do the job without all of the known equipment that they can use to preserve life. So we pray, Lord God, for their skill set to enhance. And we pray for your intervention as they are fixing disfigured faces, mingled bodies because of diseases that plague them. We pray, Lord God, for those that are backing them financially, that they be not weary in their well-doing. We pray now, Lord God, for those that are hungry today. There's someone, Father, that don't have a job because they can't get a job, not because they don't want a job, not because they're lazy, but because it's not available for them for one reason or another. God, we pray for you to give them insight on where to look for financial advancement that will be legal and righteous. We pray for that mother who was abandoned by her husband, and she has to take care of those kids on her own as well as work. We pray for that father who's in the same condition because that mother got strung out on drugs. We pray for the brokenness in our families today, Father God. God, we lift them up before you, Lord God, because, Lord God, the only way to reach their conscious soul is for you to intervene in many times. It's only you, Father God, that can remove the desire and the taste of alcohol from them, the desire and the drive and the addiction of the drug that's driving them. Only you, Father God, can make lasting change in our minds and in our spirit. And so, Father, we, Lord God, submit those that are broken like we submit them to you, Lord God. For you are the King that is able to fix that which society has said is unfixable. There's a person that grew up in rape and molestation, and their whole life is governed by that action. But God, we ask that you will speak life to them, that you will send a support staff of those surrounding them speaking hope that there is a better way, here's a different opportunity. Father, we pray now for the laborers in the vineyard. For your word have declared that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So, God, we pray now for laborers to come and work in the vineyard. We pray, Lord God, for those that love you, those that are called by you, will have courage to keep pronouncing and announcing and living and revealing and showing and demonstrating your love everywhere they go. We thank you, traveling mercy and grace, that allow us to go from here to there safely. We pray, Lord God, that you have kept us, our name made the wokeless. God, we pray, we thank you now for all that you've already done. You've already been good. You've already been kind. In fact, Father God, you're greater than what our eyes have seen. You're greater than what our ears have heard. There are things that you have blocked that we knew not was coming our way, and we thank you now, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you stopped the devil in his track for all the devastation that he would have done to hinder us from doing your will. We thank you now, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that your control, even in the midst of the devil being active, that you are not reactive. So we thank you, Lord God, for everything that you saw ahead of time and conditioned us for, so that your strength and our weakness will be revealed. We thank you now, Father God. We bless your name. Your name is worthy. Your name is honorable. We pray, Lord God, for the Six Eyes Radio Network team, their families, their associates. We pray, Lord God, for the connection that you have given us through this airway, this program. We thank you, Lord God, for this platform that you have given us that we may reach the world. And to those that are listening to us, God, we pray, Lord God, that something that we are saying, something that we are doing, will influence their lives positively and cause positive change to make the difference. And God, as you do all of these things, we just want to express how much we love you, how much we thank you for it. Lord God, there are more prayers that we can offer up to you. There's more things that we can speak towards you. But Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just search our hearts and our mind now. And even the things that we know that we don't know that we should be praying for, we ask that in your searching of us, that you reveal all truth in your own time. God, we ask that you will continue to do what no other power can do. And that's just to be you, Father. And we love you now, and we thank you now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining me in prayer on this evening. I want to say hello to Missionary Ken and Brother Six. I believe I've opened up your mics, gentlemen. God bless you. How are you all doing on this wonderful evening?
Brother Six, I'll let you start.
Doing great. Good evening. Great message. I encourage you all to download this episode of Motivation to Money, every episode of Motivation to Money here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Download that episode, put it in your download section, Motivational Monday. Thank you.
Amen.
Yep. And so far, we're having a good time. I'm enjoying myself and just would like to say thanks for the good prayer, and you seem to have covered it all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank God for it. We'll be right back with you. Amen.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition? or the ministries. These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan. A simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service, to charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
How do people try to escape depression? Self-preservation is the first law of life. If you break your arm, your first instinct is to shield it, to keep it from being injured or hit by anyone else. When you are emotionally wounded, truly wounded, you may do several things trying to protect yourself. Some people turn to alcoholism. Alcoholics always have a reason for drinking. It's their wife's fault, it's the husband's fault, it's the boss's fault. The birds are flying the wrong way. The dog barked at me when I came home. It's somebody else's fault. No, it's not. You took the drink, and the drink took you. You're hiding in a bottle because you're afraid to face reality. Alcoholism is not the answer. I'm not against drinking. I drink every day from this fountain of living water. It satisfies. It's greater than anything you'll ever drink. It's better than anything you'll ever taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's power in this book. There's an answer in this book. There's a God in this book who is the deliverer and who is the answer. Christ is your answer. Find him here.
Amen. Find him there in the book, in the B-I-B-L-E.
There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. That's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
What's up, family? What's good?
Hey.
Why y'all looking all sad? Mary, Mary here, Ruben, everybody in the cup, we ready to do this?
Nah, man, everybody's running late.
Are you serious?
Yes.
And I hope they make it.
Oh, they'll make it. They may be late, but they'll make it.
They better make it, because we've got a lot to do.
God saved me from myself when no one else was around. And it was all saved my soul. When I was just a sinner left in the cold. Give me a second chance. Save me from myself. Came to my rescue when I needed help.
I love him like I do. Amen. Thank you, Dietrich Haddon. All right, all right. We're getting ready for the word. Now, all that
Amen.
I've already done.
Amen.
All that I've
LeVar
already
Burton.
Done.
LeVar Spiegel. LeVar Spiegelman. A lot of people mistake me for LeVar Burton, but I'm LeVar Spiegelman. A great message, man of God. Amen. Yeah?
Amen. We're going forward. Everything that has been done is a prelude to the teaching on today. So if you thought that was the message, that was just the warm-up. I'm going to give you some real impactful empowerment coming after this song. The song is called It's Gonna Happen by Jacqueline Carr. But I want you to know that there's an influence in you. The world has an influence, and we know they do because many of you have this thing called TikTok on your phones, and you listen to and watch people do just all kinds of crazy stuff. And some things catch your attention and some don't. But you have so many personalities out there saying, follow me here, follow me there, follow me. People are using their influence to impact our lives. Well, we have the same authority. My question is, what's influencing you or what's influencing me? Make it personal. It's something that we must ask. You know, we must ask what's influencing my life. In other words, why did I do what I do? It was funny. In Family Matters, the character called Oracle, he would always, if something bad would happen, and he'd be, then I ain't doing that. And so a lot of times we are seeing stuff happen around us. And we don't ask the question, was I'm the one responsible? We just assume everybody else's fault. But we have a right to, there's something that's responsible to us to impact the world. So I want to deal with influence on today, and I may not be able to get into all of it. I'm going to define it and share some things concerning it. But before I do all of that, we're going to go to the Word of God and see what he has to say concerning those things. And we're going to see how can we apply them or how they are applicable for us today. All right. Jacqueline, go ahead and...
You got to hear before it happens. Believe before it happens. Receive before it happens. You got to know. It's going to happen. It won't be. But God said this one's on me. I know it's hard to see. But God said this one's on me. Gonna happen, but God said, sometimes it's hard to see, but oh, God said, hold me, gotta see it before it happens, believe before it happens, see it before it happens, you got to know.
Times our faith is really hinged on that alone. You got to see the finish line before you finish. Amen. There's a true story about a swimmer. She was swimming, I guess it was the English Channel, one of these large body of water. And she had went so far, and she signaled the boat that was following her that, you know, it was cloud, the fog was thick, and she couldn't see the shoreline, and she didn't know how far she were and how much more she had to go, and she just felt exhausted. And she got in the boat, and only to realize that she wasn't far from the shoreline at all, that she had just, I think it was something like a less than a mile or two left to swim to get to the shore and to have completed that long journey. And so the following year she did it again. And this time it was even more, the weather condition-wise on the fog was even more. And when she got to the shoreline, they asked somebody remember her yesterday. Last year you gave up, you know, because of the weather and this and that. And they asked her why didn't she give up this time when things was worse, the temperature was colder. And she said, because I saw the finish line before I started. And so I was not going to stop until I finished. And that's the short version of it. But we have to have that same tenacity about ourselves, that we're not going to stop until we finish, that we're going to accomplish what we set out to do. God has strengthened us. God has given us an assignment. And we must be about finishing the assignment. If we be about finishing, God will give us to finish. And that's what it really takes. Amen. So, one tonight, please open your Bibles with me. And I will do my very best to go through this with you. I'm reading the New Living Translation tonight. For those of you that may be challenged with some of the verbiage in the King James, I'm going to read the New Living Translation, the final draft of Dixon here. So New Living Translation. We're going to the book of Romans, and we're going to find this 12th chapter, chapter 12, verse 1. For those of you that's taking notes, we're going to read verses 1 and 2, 6, 7, 8, and 21. So, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, 2, 6, 7, 8, and 21. Now, in your leisure, go back and study the whole chapter. But to highlight our emphasis tonight, we're going to use these couple of verses. Again, I'm reading the New Living. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 reads as follows. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is the way to worship him. Verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and custom of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Verse 6. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak without, excuse me. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Verse 7, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. Verse 8, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging if it is giving. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for knowing kindness to others, do it gladly. And finally, verse 21, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. That's worth saying again. Don't let. Remember I told you that word let to thing. And so it's about taking control, having control. So he said, don't let. I mean, do not allow evil conquer you. That means you have power over evil. But conquer evil by doing good. Father God, bless this truth as we journey together in your word. Amen and amen. I want to talk about what's influencing you. At the very beginning, we see the text telling us, pleading with us to give our bodies unto God. Now, for my King James Version readers, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you will present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, this is something that is reasonable. So it's not something out of the ordinary. It's amazing that we can send text messages of funny characters all day long to different people. We can go on Facebook, Messenger, and all of these different platforms, and we can pass on other people's suggestions. But we ourselves woke up with certain thoughts of the word of God, and we don't share those thoughts, but we'll share something anecdotal, I guess that's a word, something funny, or that we find amusing, we'll send that stuff on, and some of it may not be quote-unquote holy. But yet, we're still pass it on. We're still pass it forward. We're still will utilize that time to share something that we thought was humorous. For whatever reason, we'll share it with everyone else. But when we ask you to witness God and to encourage others in their faith walk with God, we can't get you to do it. So that means something is influencing you. So allow me to take a couple steps back as we deal with the term influence. So that we're on the same page, influence is the capacity to have an effect on a character, development, or behavior of someone or something, or to affect itself. Okay? So three words we see in that: effect, impact, and control. So allow me to add those words associating with influence. Just to say, to hold power and authority, to master or to demonstrate over supremacy of leadership, guidance, direction, or pleasure. Okay? So effect is effect. It's a verb meaning influence, of having an impact on something. So effect is a noun, which is positive or negative, result in being affected by something. So the verb is to affect. That means you've done something, and what was done, it affected someone, okay, or something. So like a car hit another car, the effect was the crash itself. So to impact is the actions of one object coming forcibly into contact with another. The sound of an impact, you know, the crash itself. Six Eyes encouraging about not texting and driving. You hear the impact of the crash. Amen. Control is the power to influence or direct people, behavior, to, or the course of event. So many of us, we think of the traffic cop that's in the middle of the street when the traffic light go out. They're controlling the traffic by directing people when to go, when to stop, and so on. So that is the control. So why did I give you all these definitions, you ask? Well, it's just to really bring out the question, what effect has impacted my life and gained control over my actions? What? I'm going to ask that question again, so maybe you'll understand it. What effect? So what happened? What effect has impacted my life and gained control of my life, or gained control of my actions? In other words, you know, you hit somebody. What caused you to hit them? what action took you, caused you to take a physical action against someone else? So what happened? What are we doing? What's happening with us that's taking control? You know, when we talked to some kids, they was in a fight. Why you was in a fight? Well, he made me mad. Okay. Well, how did he make you mad? You know, we are in a world where we are being more reactive than proactive. So we must ask as believers the question, if I'm to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, and it's my reasonable service, then why am I struggling with witnessing? Why am I struggling with telling others about his goodness, his grace? What has impacted me to make me not do what it is that I know I should be doing? Okay. So what's impacting my life? And these are very good questions to ask. Now, if I had time, I guess I would go to Luke chapter 4 and talk about a few things. But I'm just going to reflect on what we had already talked about. We talked about the Holy Spirit impacting the life of Jesus. He was baptized. The Holy Spirit descended on him as a dove. John saw that the Holy Spirit descended on him fully, without measure. And he, the Holy Spirit, led Christ into the wilderness to be tempted. 40 days, 40 nights, he was tempted of the devil. So we see a system of impact and control. He yielded control to the Holy Spirit to lead him and to guide him. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we yielding to lead us and to guide us, okay? Very, very, very important question that we must ask ourselves. So for most of us, though, what's really influencing our lives? Time and money. Huh? Yes. Time, T-I-M-E, and money, M-O-N-E-Y. Yeah, time and money. So that's the subject thought here of influence. What determines value? See, because I do those things that I deem important. I respond to those things that I think that are urgent. And so for the most part, it's like cooking. The burner's up front. We can have it on higher heat because it's closer to us and we can pay more attention to it. But to the other items that may take a little bit longer to cook, or we'll reduce the temperature, and we'll put it on the back burner because it's something we don't have to watch as closely. And sometimes we just take it off the stove. And so we have to really ask ourselves these very important questions. What's governing my time and my money? Where am I spending my time and my money? What have I yielded to? You know, if you're trying to develop a skill, how much time are you yielding to it? How much money are you willing to spend on it? Because that governs whether or not your heart is really in it. That's why when we start talking about money and the church, people get on eggshell because they think it's just about somebody else wanting your money. let me be clear. Let me be 100% clear. Everybody wants your money. They want some money. You want some money. If you go out and work and do a job, you expect to be paid for it. Even if you volunteer something, you did it based on your ability to have time to do it or the resources in which you was able to do it. So if it would cost money, you expect those that you are supporting to provide it as you yield your time for it. So it's a vicious cycle, but one that we must come to terms with and proper understanding in it. When we have self-discipline, and when we understand the value of a system, these things don't take center stage. I was talking to my brother earlier today about getting some new equipment so that I can do ministry on a better level, so that I can have something that update that's not slow. So as I'm doing my business or even my leisure time, I can do it with less interruption. So I was talking about the age of the equipment that I'm using now and the ability of it to perform. And I realized that just like I have a top-of-the-line phone, because that's what I wanted, I was willing to pay the price because I wanted the top-of-the-line quality phone. And so as I was debating on which piece of equipment to get to adapt to, I had to consider, well, am I going to buy myself for personal satisfaction or gratitude something top of the line and then cheapen what I get for my business and for ministry? Is that reasonable? No, because it's God who has given me strength to go out and get wealth. It's God who has given me the intellect on how to use technology. And so why shortchange him? It's amazing that, and this is just an insert here, it's amazing that people get offended when you utilize a lot of money towards the church, and they'll condemn you for sending your money to the church. But if you take the time, I want you to go back and look at all that was acquired for the temple, the place of worship. Look at all the resources that was put into them. And take a cost assessment value of what they use in that day and time. You will find out that just the breastplate of the priest alone was worth more than any custom suit that you can afford to buy. Period. But because we are so connected with money in a certain way in our mind, it makes us hold on to stuff that we should let go. There's a scripture that tells us if we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. sow bountifully will reap also bountifully. It's the principle of a seed. Yes, the mustard seed itself is a seed that can, that's an herb that develops into a tree. So it's better than other herbs which only stay as small plants. But it's only one tree. To get a forest, you need many seeds. So a lot of times we want more, but we're not willing to give more. Now let me shift back to my lesson, because we're dealing with the value of things. What determines value? Well, market value is based on supply and demand. It is the price or amount that someone is willing to pay in the market. If a company prefers if a company's product performs poorly, the market value of that product is likely to decline. But when that product performs highly and it meets the expectation and exceeds expectation, then the value of that product excels. Well, I want you to think about that concerning yourself. Am I giving God my least or my best? Am I performing poorly for God, or am I performing great for God? Because that determines my value in the market. Did I do what was required of me? Here's another sidebar. Let's take a church setting, and you was asked this day in the church to read a scripture. They say, hey, we would like for you to do scripture reading today. And you got up to do the scripture reading, and before you read the scripture, you sung a song. And I ain't talking about just a verse of the song, you know, one line just to stir the crowd up. But you sung the whole song. You took 5 minutes, you were told to read the scripture, which is about 2 or 3 minutes. And sometimes it'd be less. But no more. But you sung a whole song, which took about 3 or 4 minutes. And then when you begin to read the scripture, you forgot that there was already a preacher in the house to preach a sermon. And you had to elaborate on the scripture as you were preaching, as you were reading it. And then you said, and let the church say amen. What they're really saying in their mind is, I wish you'd sit down, because you was asked to do one thing, but you did something else. And what makes all of that bad, if you done it and you wasn't in key, and if you done it and your elaboration wasn't on point, it not only made you look bad, but it showed your discipline that you're not willing to follow leadership. So, at norm, you won't be asked to do that again. And if you're asked to do it again, it'll be a long time before they ask you. They will have to observe you behaving accordingly. Thing is, that individual will be the one say, they don't recognize my gift. No, you don't recognize true fellowship. The apostle said, all things are lawful, but not exceedingly. And that applies here in the instance that just because you can do something don't mean that you should do it. It's always best to do what's asked. And then, if need be, if opportunity presents itself, if required of, you'll be asked to do more. You can read the scripture in such a way, they say, man, I need to hear him preach. And then you'll be invited back. You can read it in such a way that they hear the melody in your tone and say, man, I bet you can sing good. How would you like to lead this song or be part of this? But because we are more interested in being seen than fulfilling God's obligation, we do things out of character. We do things out of order. And when your behavior is constantly doing things out of order, then it speaks to your character. And it cheapens your value. Now, I know this is a hard thing to some to hear, but it's true. Do what's asked, and when you do it well so that you are invited to do more. Because I'm going to tell you, you know why Gatorade is such a good product? And it started out as in Florida. It was a project to help their athletes be energized on the field. And that's the thing to have. Everybody talking about it. You'll buy Powerade, but you'll still call it Gatorade at times. Because it met the expectations. And now there's a demand on it everywhere. When we realize this and we do what God asks us to do, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. When we do these things, then we make ourselves valuable to the market. In other words, people are willing to listen and they desire to hear because you are doing what needs to be done in a way that others are affected. That's why I gave you those definitions earlier. That means what you said affected them in a way. It had an impact and an influence in them in a way to make them want to listen more. I pray today that what I'm saying to you is impacting your life in such a way that makes you not just want to hear me, but want to get into the Word of God for yourself, to grab all the understanding that God has for you, to want the more. I knew I wasn't going to finish this lesson today. Just looked at my time. Amen. So let me take some moments here and read just a few of my notes here. So I would like to make this personal, so I will only look at the word value from only these points of value. They are character value, work value, and personal value. When we consider value, something that has influence, they are character value, work value, and personal value. Character value are the universal value that you need to exist as a good human being. Amen? Work value are values that help you find what you want in a job and give you job satisfaction. So that's work value. Personal value are values that help you define what you want out of life and will assist you in being happy and fulfilled. Now, if I don't say nothing else to you tonight that means anything, I think a good stopping point will be to reiterate these three definitions to you. And that is when concerning the value of something in the marketplace, we want to consider value on three fronts that they are character value, work value, and personal value. Character value are the universal values that you need to exist. Mm-hmm. That you need to exist as a good human being. Mm-hmm. What's important to you? Honesty, you know, so on. Work value are values that help you find what you want in a job or career and gives you that career or job satisfaction. What kind of completes the type of person you are? And personal value are values that help you determine or define what you want out of life and will assist you in being happy and fulfilled. And so the only way, I believe, that you can be stuck in depression is when you have lost sight of personal value. And it can be in the result of not having good character values or good work values. The lack on those two can determine and have an influence on your personal value, your overall happiness and well-being in life. And so that's why these things are so important. Okay? With customer value, you must be committed. You must be loyal. You must have a positive attitude and respect. That's character value. I said custom. Character value. When you have that character value, you must be committed, loyal. You must have a positive attitude, and you must be respectful to others. Good work value are hands-on, public contact, persistence, and stability. You got to have these things. They are very important in establishing these principal guidelines that others see and they are willing to pay for. I don't have to advertise my yacht business because I get word of mouth. They see the results. They see the quality of the work, the persistence of me doing what I do till it's done. Not half finished, but done. And so I don't have people saying, "Hey, well, you did this." I don't think that's worth $55, Kenneth. I think looked like you did $40 worth of work. And so I don't have that happening because, for the most part, most of my customers like to tip me because they see the value in what I've done. Hey, that's all I have for you today. We're at the end of our program. I respect your time. I thank you for joining us here on the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. Thank you for being a part of our program today. If you like to be part of our program, help us to continue on, we encourage you to sow a donation. Amen. Sow a donation. You can give a donation to the Six Eyes Radio Network team two ways. Well, you can do it three ways, but two ways you can do it electronically, and that is through Cash App and through PayPal. On the Cash App, if you type in $6Eyes24, that is $SIXEYES, the digit number 2, the digit number 4, then you can contribute whatever amount God has afforded you to sow into this ministry. On the PayPal platform, you type in the email address 6i6@gmail.com. That is SIXEYES, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. And whatever you give is greatly appreciated. When you sow seed and you sow them in good ground, there's a harvest. And the harvest is beneficial to all those that help in the harvesting. And so you are helping us. And so prayerfully, this network is being beneficial to you in some way and some form. And we thank you now for our fruit from Brother Charles Six Eyes himself and myself and all of the staff that makes up this programming. We want to say thank you. We love you with the love of Christ. Thank you for allowing me to have this time with you and your family. I appreciate you so very much. I love you with the love of Christ. I'm already over my time, and I don't want to waste your time. I want to thank each and every last one of you that have called in today. Thank you. You know who you are. I don't have to call all the names, but thank you for being a part of this program. Encourage those that may want to listen to the program to download the iHeart Radio app on their devices. and type in Six Eyes Radio. And when they do that, they can subscribe to any of all of our programming. And we thank you now. In the name of Jesus, you have a blessed evening. God bless you and God keep you. Amen.